Hello and welcome to another episode of Dr. Jane's 10-Minute Positive Mental Health Podcasts. Now, in today's episode, I wanted to talk about a topic that I've seen in just about practically all the people I've ever seen over the years of being a therapist. It's about that sense of feeling worthlessness, that sense of feeling not good enough. It's often at the base of an awful lot of presentations, whether the presentations are anxiety or depression or, you know, stress. It's always kind of back to that sense of just not feeling good enough for your career, good enough for your relationships. You know, it kind of comes in a multitude of layers. But yeah, that sense of worthlessness. Now, I'm going to illustrate today's podcast by a guy I saw that we'll call John, who was in his 40s. Now, he came to me because he said, you know, he sat down on the sofa and it was right, okay, so, you know, why are you here? You know, what are your goals, et cetera, which we always go through at the top of any therapy. And he just said not to fail because, you know, then he started reeling off. He'd failed at relationships. He'd failed at his career. He'd failed at university. He'd failed at travelling. He'd failed at, you know, there was a great big long list that this guy was carrying around with him, feeling that he was worthless and he was useless. And often, what a lot of sense of worthlessness, you know, that you don't feel that you belong, you don't feel that you're good enough. Often it's based in that sense of attachment. Now, when we talk about attachment, and I kind of did this really thoroughly when I did my doctorate many years ago, and I looked at postnatal depression and anxiety issues from an attachment point of view. An attachment is basically that, you know, it's exactly what it kind of says. It's about security. Do you feel secure? And this is born, usually, you know, generated with children, sort of like in the first 18 months, 2 years of their lives, as to whether they come from a solid base that, you know, if they're in the playground and they fall over and they bruise their knee or they scratch their knee or something, and they're all kind of, you know, tears, and they can run to their principal caregiver, which is often the mother, and they know that they'll get the security and everything, you know, the face will be wiped and everything will be fine, and then they can go off and play again. Or, you know, I'm sure if you look at any kind of, you know, situation like that, you'll have children that, even though they're, you know, looked after, cared for, you know, faces all wiped and everything, they won't leave the side of their parent, or they fall over and they just, you know, they look behind and they think, well, what's my response going to be today? And this is the difference between secure and insecure attachment. And roughly, when they've done studies over the years, and they've done plenty of studies, it roughly works about half and half. You know, half the people are securely attached, half the people are insecurely attached. And it does come down to your formative experiences of your principal caregiver. And if that has been in any way neglectful or defective or just not there in some cases, then the you know, kids get the idea that, well, you know, life is going to be difficult, you know, it's unsafe out there, and what do I make of the person that's meant to make it safe for me? So it's kind of, you can see how these things are really born out of very, you know, very formative experiences. Now, in John's case, he was adopted. Now, he was at absolute pains to say that his adoptive parents couldn't have been the most wonderful, the nicest, you know, they were his parents, they were the loveliest, caring, kindest people, and did absolutely everything. You know, they didn't let him get away with, you know, anything, but they were just proper, really loving, really kind of nice parents. But as in a lot of cases, because I have seen a lot of adopted people over the years, they often describe that there's a bit of them, no matter how good their situation has been, they often describe that there's just, it's like a jigsaw, and there's just one piece missing. And that is the sense of, you know, from your formative years, no matter what the situation, there was somebody that was the person that was, you know, that's brought you into this world and is meant to love you more than anything else. And they have, you know, we don't know the circumstances. He didn't know the circumstances of his adoption. They have rejected you. They have abandoned you for all, on paper, the right reasons. But it is that sense of, you know, or they were made to do it in a lot of cases. But there's that sense of you have that sense of just not belonging, not being good enough, and not being, the word is lovable. And this is what John was kind of like, a really good example of somebody that had carried this throughout his life. And he would flit from, you know, lots of different relationships. He hated being on his own. So he had a kind of, you know, myriad of failed relationships. And he would say that they were all really lovely, decent, you know, girls that he got together with, but he couldn't commit. Or when the opportunity came along to be unfaithful, he'd jump at it because it was somebody paying him attention, you know. And it was the same with his career. He couldn't settle to a career. He tried lots of different things. You know, he was very creative, and he was kind of doing something in the sort of like media industry, you know, digital marketing and things like that. But then he'd get to a certain point, and then he'd think, okay, no, I can't settle that. You know, I'm not good enough for doing that. And then he went off and kind of had to start again. So he was his own worst enemy. So we looked at his background a bit. And he, you know, of course, he knew his own background. But you know, he never wanted to do anything to upset his adoptive parents. So he kind of kept that curiosity and those feelings about himself kind of quite inserted within himself, and he'd internalised things. But of course, it has to come out in some way. And his was in the poor relationships, the failing at everything, as he put it. When we looked at it, he was actually in quite a successful career at the time that we met. He was having quite a good and long-term relationship. He had an exceptionally patient girlfriend, and he said, even though opportunities, you know, because media can be full of quite young girls, were coming along at him, there was a bit of him that was, you know, there was a lot of him that was resisting that, but he wanted to know why, because it had been a danger area for him before, it'd been a risk for him before, and this is why he'd kind of ended up with coming to see me. So what we did, we looked at the background, we looked at the sort of like internalized conflict that he was carrying around with him and how that manifested itself, but we also looked at the opposite to that sense of worthlessness, that sense of uselessness that he was carrying around with him, that he was kind of feeling all the time. And the alternative and the opposite to, of course, worthlessness is worthiness, which, John even hadn't considered in all of his life that he could be a worthy person. And when he started to look at his history a little bit, he actually realised that there was a sense of he could be an okay person. And he realised that he'd been quite a good person. He'd been a very faithful friend, maybe not a faithful boyfriend, but he'd always been a very loyal friend. He'd been a faithful friend. You know, if ever his mum and dad wanted anything, you know, he was always there. He just wanted to do the right thing. So he had very many, many good attributes that he found a little bit difficult to see in himself. So once, people would tell him, but he wouldn't believe them because he always had that sense of insecurity and worthlessness. So it only ever stopped at this stage. So once he started exploring that and allowing himself to tolerate that familiar uncomfortableness that he would feel when somebody paid him a compliment, say, for instance, allowing himself to tolerate that uncomfortableness was quite short-lived. So we kind of did, you know, little behavioural experiments where, not to set it up so it was a bit trite or anything, so, his girlfriend, you know, was a trusted person, so he would say to her, oh, you know, when you say something, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, if I've cooked dinner or I'm wearing a certain, you know, shirt or whatever it is, if you say something that you would normally not say to me because in the past when you've said something nice to me, I've kind of rebuffed it, allow yourself to say that. And then I have to tolerate it. And it was a bit clunky to begin with, because of course she was saying the things that she thought he wanted to hear, and it was a bit kind of clunky. But with that clunkiness, it kind of then smoothed out into, she could say just kind of everyday stuff to him, like, oh, you know, nice shirt, oh, good haircut, or whatever it is. And instead of kind of rebuffing that, because that's what he'd always done, he would then tolerate it. He'd kind of go, okay, right, she said that to me, what would I normally do? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to actually kind of go, yes, so, you know, my partner has said to me that, you know, I've just got my hair cut and it looks good. Okay, I'll accept that. I'll take that as a compliment. And And the other side, you know, as I said, the other side of worthlessness is worthiness. So you are lovable. You are somebody that, you know, people want to be with. You know, you're not useless. And, you know, there is that sense of, you know, with worthiness comes that sense of belonging, which was the thing that John had always missed in his entire life, that sense of belonging, because he had come from a place where, for whatever reason, he didn't belong, you know, because of what had gone on with his birth mother, he doesn't know. And then he'd gone to a place where, as much as he was loved and respected and looked after, there was that tiny little kind of jigsaw-sized bit of him that didn't belong. And that was the bit that was controlling and manifesting itself in his life. So, you know, that was John, and that's what we did. So you've got to kind of, you know, if you have that sense of worthlessness or uselessness, or, you know, not good enough, you have to challenge it. And you can't always rely on other people to do that. You know, John was quite lucky, he had his partner, but you have to be able to start doing it themselves. So when you say, I'm useless and I'm unlovable, the alternative to that is, well, actually, everybody deserves love. You know, you're not useless. You know, you're not perfect in every single way, but you're not necessarily useless. And he had to start challenging that. And when he kind of got into the habit of it, because it'd been a kind of lifelong habit to rebuff everything and stick in his own little, you know, I know where I am box, when he started kind of exploring a little bit more, it wasn't too hard for him. And he kind of, you know, his mood really lifted significantly quite quickly. He was talking about, you know, wanting to get some medication. And, you know, a medication for low mood is great in the right circumstances, but you don't want it to just be a sticking plaster, because you're not investigating the stuff that's gone on underneath it. So that was John and his kind of, you know, his, you know, overriding sense of worthlessness, and how we managed to challenge that and started getting him on the path of being a worthy person and a person that he could actually like and admire, because that's what, you know, that was one of the issues that he had. I have been Dr. Jane. This has been a 10-minute positive mental health podcast, which I hope you've enjoyed. If you go to drjane.co.uk/podcasts, there's plenty on the library about all sorts of things, things for yourself, things for people you know that might be useful for them. And I will speak to you again very, very soon. And thank you for listening.